Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Today is Wednesday, August the 1st of 2018. Got a few cool topics to talk about today in the cybersecurity world, and a couple little things in the crypto space that we're going to discuss today as well. First and foremost, though, I want to talk about our sponsor for the show. It's Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company, and they do all kinds of really cool T-shirts. They can do your business's polo shirts, or, you know, if you want to make a T-shirt for a sports team, little league teams, whatever it is, you can get those done at Southern Graphics. And they've got some really funny T-shirts as well on their website. So check them out. Their website's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Again, southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. So check those guys out. So we'll start with the cybersecurity news. I talked about on, I think it was probably two podcasts ago. We're on episode 10, by the way. I think on episode 8, we discussed the Iowa Healthcare Group, the data breach that affected what they originally thought was less than 200,000 people. Well, guess what? They came back today, and they said, it's not 200,000, it's 14 million. Talk about a big different number there. Where the hell they came up with less than 200,000 to jump to 14 million? It's pretty substantial. But anyway, I posted the article there. You can read the notes on that. But 14 million people had their health information compromised thanks to them. And I know we've talked about it before, but it just really underscores how important it is to integrate security into your business. And really, security should be looked at as, you know, less of an IT burden or overhead and more of a risk mitigation strategy. Because the risk here is you're going to lose the faith of all of your customers. If you expose all their information online, they're not going to trust you anymore. And they're going to be, you know, wanting to file a lawsuit against you. Everybody's going to be upset with you. They're not going to want to do business with you anymore. That's a risk. That's a huge risk. So, you know, instead of thinking of it as an expense, as a big overhead, whatever you want to call it, think of it as risk mitigation. You know, this is it really is risk, because it could tear your business apart. You know, you could be profitable one day and, you know, you leak everybody's information and all their credit cards and social security numbers, and boom, the next day, nobody wants to do business with you. So think about it as a risk mitigation, not just IT overhead. Moving on, though, there was some new Facebook stuff that came out today. I know I preached pretty big on Facebook crap yesterday, but the Facebook stuff that came out today was Zuckerberg came out and said that they found some ongoing political campaigns that were influencing, you know, millions of people to vote a certain way. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I just thought it was funny that, you know, this article came out today talking about how Facebook found this. And, yeah, good for you, Facebook. You know, how many others are there on your site still influencing people? You know, you found one. All right, let's find the other 10 million that are on your site doing the exact same thing. You know, it's funny, a lot of the hackers and these activist groups and whatnot, they will look for, you know, dormant accounts and hack into these dormant accounts and basically take over the account, delete all the information that was there, and replace it with all this political agenda stuff. So anybody that those, you know, dormant accounts were friends with, the friends list stays there. They reactivate the account. Or maybe the account was just abandoned and it had a bunch of friends in the friends list and the account was just never used. It gets taken over. And these activists change and delete everything that was on there and put up a bunch of political fake news to sway people to vote a certain way, and away they go. And you report these people to Facebook, and sometimes it takes Facebook days and days and weeks to even take these down. You know, they have to do their own investigation and they don't want to take your word for it. But it's really obvious when you get on those profiles and you see that, you know, they just updated all of their pictures, you know, 5 days ago with all this political agenda, and they changed the name, you know, 10 days ago to whatever it is. So, you know, I don't understand why Facebook doesn't have some sort of a, you know, built-in flag or something that flags these accounts automatically, rather than having to wait for people to report them. And maybe they do. I don't know. But to me, it just seems really obvious when an account is changed like that, that it's, you know, it's because of this political propaganda that they're trying to spread. So Facebook found one. Yeah, good for them. Doesn't make me feel much better about using their platform. But I guess congrats, Zuckerberg. You found a big one. Go find the rest, please. Let's take all these guys down, right? And I think that, you know, the best way for Facebook to really, really mitigate a bunch of this stuff is have some sort of identity validation that has to occur before you can create an account. Make people validate who they are with, you know, I don't know, with security questions of some sort about your credit report or whatever it is. Make people, you know, give you their driver's license number just to verify that they're an actual person. Or they're, you know, they're, if it's a business, they'd have to give you the EIN number of the business or whatever it is. Instead of just letting anybody with an email account sign up and do whatever the hell they want, there should be some sort of validation that it's actually a, number one, it's a human. It's not some Facebook bot that somebody's created to go post a bunch of fake news. That it's an actual person and you can verify their identity. You know, Twitter has verified accounts. Facebook should probably do the same thing, but you know, they just have to have a mechanism for validating, you know, who's an actual person and who is one of these malicious entities trying to sway the political agenda. So anyway, I posted the article for that big Zuckerberg find, and you guys can check that out. Moving over to the crypto side of things, I saw an article today about 5 ways to hack blockchain in the enterprise. Thought it was kind of cool. The you know, blockchain is typically thought of as a cryptocurrency only thing, but really it can be used for a lot of different applications. Inventory systems and all kinds of other things can use blockchain. And so this article kind of goes through the different ways that you could potentially hack these blockchains that are used by businesses. So I thought that was a really cool read. Definitely check that out if you're looking to implement blockchain at your business or you know another company that's using blockchain. I don't know of anybody that has any kind of blockchain applications yet. That's still kind of bleeding edge, cutting edge kind of stuff. I do foresee that the, you know, pretty much all the financial institutions will eventually get to a blockchain type of system. Most of them nowadays, they still use old AS400 technology from IBM mainframes, which, you know, that's a whole other story in and of itself. I'm not sure how much I would trust the security of an IBM mainframe, but apparently it's worked this long and hasn't been compromised that much yet. So, but blockchain is I think a much better technology, especially for banking. I mean, it's a ledger that cannot be modified. So that's where, you know, the security is really built in. You can't go back and change stuff. You can't manipulate it, right? That's the whole point of it. So once you commit a transaction, it's there, and you can't go back and undo anything. So which might make it difficult, you know, for banks. I'm not sure. Sometimes they have to undo a transaction of some sort. So you know, it's going to take a lot of development to get blockchain really heavily used in enterprise, and especially heavily used in the financial world too. But definitely a cool read. Check out the that article there about different ways to hack blockchain. Saw some other cool, I do some cryptocurrency mining on the side. I've got 12 GPUs and they're all mining away at home. It was really expensive to get it all set up, and it was a lot of work, right? So there's a company out there called Honeyminer, and they're trying to make it easy for people that just kind of want to get into it. And kind of learn about how to mine. Not only Honeyminer, but you can also use other companies like MinerGate. They're a pretty easy one as well. But Honeyminer released their software that mines cryptocurrency on your computer and converts it over into Bitcoin. And you can kind of see how it all works and get started with the cryptocurrency market and, you know, start dabbling in it and seeing if you like it, and learning more about mining and how it works without spending, you know, thousands of dollars on graphics cards and power supplies and cooling and all that other kind of stuff. So if you're looking to get into crypto mining and you're just curious about how it works, check out Honeyminer. Also check out MinerGate. MinerGate allows you to mine a bunch of different cryptocurrencies with your CPU on your computer, and they don't automatically convert it to Bitcoin, which can be good and bad, I guess. You know, Bitcoin's kind of the universal cryptocurrency, and, you know, right now is the most valuable one. So Honeyminer is good because it converts it all for you, so that's kind of nice. But definitely recommend checking those out if you are looking to get into that kind of stuff. And if you're looking for an online wallet, check out Coinbase. They're doing pretty good. They got all kinds of, there's also apps in the App Store and Google Play for various Bitcoin wallets that you can have just on your phone too. So definitely check that out. Look into it and see if mining is something that you want to do. Right now, though, you know, at least in my experience, mining is not very profitable anymore because of electricity costs, and the current price of Bitcoin is pretty low. Ethereum is pretty low, so the overall market just is still really, really, really bad right now. So you know, I hope that it, you know, eventually comes back, but right now it's pretty bad. but hopefully we can see some turnaround here soon. But Bitcoin fell all the way to 7,200 yesterday, and Ethereum got all the way down to 415 yesterday. So really, really tanking. And I think again, it's because of the ICOs that get hacked and all that stuff gets into the news, and people freak out and they start selling. They have no faith in cryptocurrencies because of these kinds of things that happen, and all these exchanges that get hacked, and all these investors that have all this money to invest, and you know, they get like the Kick ICO that we talked about yesterday. They got hacked, and you know, they got taken for millions of dollars. So people lose faith in the crypto market, but I think it's really here to stay. So I'm going to continue doing it. Anyway, that's really all we had for today, and not a whole lot of news going on today, but at least wanted to get in a podcast here and give some little updates on cybersecurity and cryptocurrency. But we're going to sign off for today, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a great day.